the concept Google loves to talk about, EEAT. In all content we should create, we should understand that we need to solve a problem for the user who is actually engaging with the content by showing our experience, our expertise, our authority, and our trustworthiness.
Welcome to UnMiss, your go-to digital marketing hub. I'm Anatoly Ulatovsky, here with expert tips and exclusive chats to boost your online game. Let's get started.
Hello, good people. Welcome to our show. Hello, bad people. Welcome to our show. Hello, welcome. Today, we are going to discuss about the future. I love to give you the future. And this world is quickly changing. Well, we need to adapt fast, to consider new technologies, to think how to do it right, because according to data, people lose their jobs. For example, 5% of marketers and content creators lost their jobs when ChatGPT appealed. It's not because this tool can replace these people, it's because someone can adapt to this tool and replace these people. For example, I grow my results with ChatGPT, I get much better results, I double my energy to AI because I use AI before ChatGPT. And I know it's important to adapt fast. I can create OpenAI, Microsoft, Google, but I can be on the second stage to adopt new technologies to grow my business. And it's very important today to learn more about generative search and small markets. I'm so excited to discuss a lot more with Thomas Bock. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
A big pleasure, Thomas. A big pleasure. I want to learn more. I spoke with a few experts from Denmark and you join me. Yeah, please tell more about you, about your background, experience, and anything that can help our listeners to learn more about you.
Well, yes, of course. As you say, my name is Thomas. I've been working with the SEO for almost 10 years. And I'm from Copenhagen in Denmark. So my experience is based in Denmark and the Scandinavian markets mostly, but we also work a lot with the international companies in the agency that I have together with my partners built up called Bonser, which is a specialized SEO agency. Started my SEO, you could say, journey with affiliate marketing. And then some years after, we began the agency Bonser, which is where I'm currently sitting here in the office in Copenhagen. My role is the CPO, so I'm the product officer, having a lot of focus, nerding a lot with SEO, analyzing the search engine, the algorithm, and how we should also adapt it to work in different projects. And my overall big focus right now is really much like how we adapt to the generative search, to AI, because that is not something that only is important in a specific industry. It's important for everyone working with SEO and digital marketing in general. So that is a bit about myself and where I have my focus these days. Then I heard about the podcast here, and I was happy to join to talk even more about that, because I love sharing knowledge, or at least my perspective on things. So that's a bit about me.
Nice, Thomas. I love your experience. And SEO is the main fuel of my business. We help a lot to get SEO traffic. And I remember in 2008 when I started this journey, that was not tough like today. And in most cases, because many companies still ignore Google and to prefer yellow pages, flyer marketing, but today it's not the same experience. At that time, I had a team of writers who wrote about anything. I gave them topics, weight loss, finance, anything. They wrote Google rank, we got results. But today it's another experience. Google fired this team. Okay, I fired this team, but Google helped me to fire these people, because today we are looking for having a real experience. We spend so much time to find great writers who can create content, to check the quality of content, because content is still king, and it's important to create super high quality content. And Thomas, I want to ask you, how to find great writers today? It's a big issue. I still have a lot of clients who can't find good writers. It's not like to go to Fiverr or Upwork, other places. It's tough to find good writers who can create great content. How you decide this problem to help clients, customers to find great writers?
So you asked me how we find great content writers these days.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's many ways to do that, obviously, and it is difficult to find, you know, the best kind of content writers. And I think it's a mix of course, like experience, but also like, you know, a focus on just bringing out the best kind of like, well, content, and those who actually also have something to share, some kind of storytelling. So a mix of creativity and also experience, I think. But many don't maybe have that much experience, but at least if they have the creativity, that can be really good writers. I would say in Bonsair, we have content teams in all of our markets. We also have a lot of content writers who have some experience, for example, in journalism, which we also use really great in the combination with, for example, link building or digital PR. So for us, it's also a matter of understanding when we work with content, the different pillars we work with. We both work with content, but we also work with promotion, you know, with link building or digital PR. And those who can find the great stories, be creative, and build better experience, that is at least what we look into in of course, great writers. And then, of course, those who want to join the Bonsair journey and want to like work with SEO in the way we do it, if you have that that mindset, I think it's really much also a matter of mindset. Then you also find the best content writers, those who have mindset of delivering helpful content to people. Obviously, many content writers today, and most I think also you work with something like ChatGPT or to like increase and improve their work and their outcome, or output. But you still need to add the human creativity, and I think also in a world where there are so much AI, bringing in more human driven creativity is really, really important, and that's even more important actually now, even though we have much more AI developed technologies to work with in content.
Yeah, nice. And Thomas, I want to ask more about generative search. I know it's very important to consider AI, but we have two sides of this coin. The first side, Google is against AI content. I can't agree with that. I think, let me explain why. I think Google is against low quality content, but if you know how to create high quality content with AI, you will be fine. And once I spoke with Fabrice Canel from Microsoft Bing, and he told me that Bing doesn't care. If you create with AI or without AI, Bing cares about quality. I think Google is on the same boat because I create a lot of AI content. I remember when my team started to check all this content with AI detectors, but we stopped because if we check its quality, who cares? You know, you mentioned about PR. For example, we use a lot of PR. We create PR and edit press releases with ChatGPT and other AI tools, and we got mentions on CNN, Bloomberg, Business Insider, Investing.com. And if these publications can accept AI content, that means it's quality. You know, you can't cheat these publications. Can you tell how to create high quality content with AI? And because for me, it's a must-have today. What do you think?
It is a must-have, and I think when working with SEO and working for clients or working for a company, it is also expected that you use these kind of tools because it can like make the process of content creation more effective and faster. It's just a matter of how you use it. And I think in order to also create the best kind of quality content, you should use something like, for example, also or not always, but in some cases at least ChatGPT, because it can bring in perspectives. The where you should use it is in the matter of getting some perspective, some inspiration, some optimized ideas for what you're creating. And especially if you're creating content repeatedly in the same format, it can also help on creating those kind of briefs, so you don't need to put in manual content for that every time. I think if you combine like the best inputs you can get from something like ChatGPT together, with your own like human-driven experience, you can get a really great output. But it is also important that you add your human-driven output because as a company, as a business, we're all quite unique. And if we want to rank high in Google or Bing, or if we want to offer something that people convert with, then of course we also need to offer something quite unique. Because if we only use ChatGPT, we will actually just see something that the search engine itself actually just could deliver with generative search, because it's driven on the same kind of training models. But to deliver the best kind of content with something like ChatGPT, I think if you have a mix of human-driven experience and the different tools that they have within that kind of tool, using it for, again, inspiration, optimization, and making things faster, you can produce more content faster, but you can also get inspiration of how you can optimize the content that you have created from only a human brain, so to say. So I think that mix, it just bring in something that we may not always know when we are only sitting with ourselves and the computer. It can bring some perspectives that we wouldn't have thought about. And I think that can improve the value of the content. And now there's lots of formats. Now you can also combine it with video and images without saying that it necessarily is great, because the output is always based on our input. And that's actually the other thing I just want to say. If you want to create quality content with AI or ChatGPT, it's all a matter of the input, because if you give a bad input, you'll get a bad output, because that's how it works. By adding your experience, by adding your uniqueness and working with a tool like ChatGPT, I think you can get a really great output, because you can add some perspective you wouldn't have thought of before. But I don't think you will get the best result if you don't add in that kind of uniqueness that you as a company have.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, I think uniqueness is a must have. If you create the same content, if you rewrite, it's tough to get results, especially today. Google is looking for something unique. Users are looking for something unique. Google satisfies their intent. So, and it's important to stand out from the rest, to create something new, special. I usually ignore topics when we come bring something new to the table. So we create content plan and we see, okay, can we do something different? Can we provide different experience, much better experience? If we can't, we ignore it, because we have 100 other topics, you know. I'm looking for lack of quality content, outdated information, because today a lot of outdated content, and it's a big opportunity when you feel this gap. Google can recognize fresh content, and I usually search for topics that were published like plus 3 years ago. So I see, okay, offers published 3 years ago, they still have a lot of traffic. And it's a good opportunity for you to replace them, because many things can change for 3 years. And if you jump on this field, you can get great results. And Thomas, I want to ask about small markets. Our main topic, generative search in small markets. Can you tell what it means? What small markets mean? How you can optimize differently for these markets?
Yes, and when I talk about small markets, at least from my perspective, I talk about markets who is not like the big English-speaking countries where Google typically, or it could also be Bing, has their first kind of rollouts. Because today, for example, with the search generative experience, it is something that is not being fully rolled out yet in, for example, markets like the Scandinavian markets where I'm sitting like currently. But it is something that has been tested and often also first rolled out in, for example, the US, where you're sitting. And so what I'm talking about here is how can we actually today both prepare and adapt to what is currently a part of the algorithm, and also prepare and adapt to what will happen. Because in smaller markets, we don't, for example, get the chance to test it as fast and as companies in the big markets as the US. But it's still so important when we are in smaller markets that we look on what is happening in, for example, something like US, that we are quite, and that's something at least I also have a big focus on, look into what is being rolled out in the US, for example, and then we can actually have, and that is something that is actually something that is a force in smaller markets, I would say, is that we actually have the time to prepare, because we can see how it will influence other markets before it's happening here. So we actually have a in smaller markets a really great chance to adapt to prepare before it actually is being rolled out here. So that's actually just an overall thinking. I think it's important as a takeaway, and also some smaller markets companies needs to adapt to. Something else that is important and something that is different from smaller markets to bigger markets is, of course, also the amount of possible search volume and, of course, also customers, because there are much more people living in bigger markets. That's also what defines them, bigger economies. And therefore, there's also a bigger searches. And sometimes what can both be a challenge but also opportunity is that in smaller markets, for different kind of topics, especially if you work with international strategies, you will see that in your smaller markets, you have a less amount of search volume for the same kind of topics that you have if you compare it to the biggest markets, for example, the US market or whatever it can be. And therefore, we need always to understand how can we actually create traffic and business based on more smaller searches, more long tail searches, actually. And therefore, a way to really prepare also is to use that force as you have in smaller markets, the focus on long-tail searches, because that is something that we know from testing, also from I will almost say facts, is something that Google and the newer search behavior are focusing on, like long-tail keywords. Because today, and that is not something we only see reflected in SGE, we actually just see this in the search behavior today. People or users are really much driven by this kind of conversational kind of search. We don't just search for one topic anymore. We search for like a question, like we're speaking with our best friend, for example, ChatGPT. So we are used to having that kind of conversational search behavior. And therefore, we also expect someone who can actually provide us with a lot of content that actually also answers content in a conversational behavior. And we don't want only a result that can answer for one question or one topic. We want someone who can answer all the related questions. If you see, and if you have tested like SGE, for example, in the US, you will be able to see, of course, that there will be some follow-up related questions that are being recommended based on the generative search result. And in the way you can actually also prepare for that and adapt to that, at least also as a smaller market, is to work with what you're already doing in terms of long tails and understand that also based on how the SGE will actually also show results in the future, because then you can already now adapt to that based on your current SEO strategy. So what I'm actually just saying is that work and understand long tail keywords, because then you also understand the newer search behavior we have today, because when people search today for one topic, they actually also have 3 to 4 more searches within that search. And that's why it's so important that you also have thought about that when creating content. So you only don't create content for one topic, but you actually create for one keyword, but you create content for all the sub questions that might be, and therefore covering the whole topic. That's something that I think is something that when being in a small market, something that you perhaps are used to because you have less search volume, you need to work even more with long tails. And that's something that is really important when looking into the search behavior that we are seeing being more and more a thing in the world.
Nice. Yeah, got it. Thomas, I'm curious about search generative experience because Google promised to launch this feature, but we still don't see. No, I mean like influencer, someone who have access, they can check, test it, but we don't see at scale. I mean, like, can you provide some predictions about SGE, when we can see this feature, and is it a good idea to start thinking today about SGE, I mean, like, to optimize your content plan strategy, because SGE can change the game completely when you need to adapt 100% all your resources if we have a scale. Of course, Google can mix some keywords with SGE, some keywords without SGE. So your prediction about that?
Well, that's the big dollar question. Well, at least we are already seeing it being somehow kind of rolled out in the US and in some of also other bigger markets, as I've been talking about before. When it will be rolled out in smaller markets, it's difficult to say. Perhaps it could be around perhaps May. I don't know. Then that will actually be 1 year after they announced it last year. But that was just my guess. But at least I think in 2024, there are still some people who think or are not sure that they will do the full rollout of SGE. But for me, that doesn't actually. I don't care really much about if SGE is being rolled out or not in the exact way that it's being tested right now, because no matter what, we know that they will update even more based on the generative experience, because that is just how people are searching today. So if it's going to be like in this format or this format, I don't think it makes sense to like focus on that specifically. What makes sense to focus on is the overall search behavior, and that is something we already see today. And that's why people are using so much ChatGPT and what kind of other generative experience that can be. But I think when taking things into consideration, I think that we will see search generative experience as Google has been testing and as we're seeing being rolled out, like for example also in the US as it is being tested right now, as it is and as it looks right now. I think we will see that being rolled out during this year. And I also think that therefore it is of course important to adapt to this. Google had a earnings call, the Q4 earnings call some weeks ago, where they shared they had great earnings on their investments in AI, and they will also invest even more into this. So I think we can for sure know that they will update the search engines to be more of this AI generative experience, and how we can like prepare for that is to understand the search behavior, understand the search behavior we can see from Google Gemini or from ChatGPT. And what is the search behavior here? As I mentioned before, it's much more conversational. It's much more based on long tail searches and long tail search intents. And therefore we need to understand how to provide that. And also what is also it's based on, it's based on an overall other search intent than what we might see ranked today in, for example, the classic search engine. Today, if you search for example, that's something I've been testing myself and also testing together with the SGE ranking tool Authoritas, is how we see difference when you activate the generate result after you had the classic result before. And one of the cases also they shared is that, for example, if you search for smartwatch or smartwatches in the US today, you will get an overview of smartwatches, both you know, transactional and commercial investigation content where they compare different watches, but basically watches you can buy. When you activate the generated result, you will see much more informative content. You will see the generative result being what to prepare for, what to be aware for before choosing a watch. In general, actually just much more information people need before they actually take that decision. So in order to prepare for the generative experience, I think the buzzword is being much more informative and understand to bring more information, guidance to your users, because that is actually the search intent behind the SGE. Because what people are doing today with ChatGPT and for example Gemini, it's not to search for a specific product, it's to search for inspiration, guidance, perspectives. And that is what Google are also updating right now. They have launched, for example, something called Google Perspective. So actually the best way to adapt to the SGE is actually just to follow the algorithm and the guidelines Google are providing. But sometimes people are too focused about what is happening and they're afraid of what is happening, so they actually forget to follow the updates coming from Google. But by following them, I think you will adapt really much to what will happen on SGE. We also saw a case where we saw the biggest kind of results who was ranking right now, the biggest companies were ranking in the results today, and those ranking afterwards in the generative experience. Many e-commerce cases were ranking high in the results today, as we see, due to perhaps a more commercial investigation intent. But when the generated result was expanded, they were going down in rankings, and it was like much more informative driven companies who were ranking. The only one who actually had the result before and after was Wikipedia. And what do we know from Wikipedia is that they are really good at providing information. So I think that is my best advice to companies, both of course in big markets, but at least also in smaller markets, because it both helps rankings today, but it will also prepare you for the future. if that makes sense. Well,
of course. Thomas, I want to ask about blogging. The main reason why I'm asking about blogging, I remember in 2008, when we started our journey, we ignored blogs a lot. And because we created e-commerce content, Google ranked well. That was simple to cheat the system to create e-commerce content. And Google ranks almost all content. But today, it's not the same. Of course, we write a lot of blog posts, but I'm not sure about the future. And let me explain. For example, I decided to buy Tesla in Florida. I asked on Google, can I use autopilot feature in Florida? I can't find a simple answer to simple question on Google. I found a lot of content about Tesla, electric cars, why we need to save the world. Of course, we need to save the world, but I was looking for different experience. Then I asked totally the same question on ChatGPT, and I got answer for a few seconds. The same happened when I decided to open new business in Florida, and again, I asked, please list a list of documents on Google. I got a lot of information irrelevant to my keyword. Just I was looking for a list of documents. On Gemini, I got this answer for a few seconds. Mm-hmm. The list of documents without irrelevant information. Today, I'm not sure about the future of blog content because if Gemini, ChatGPT, or other tools can find information faster, I think many content creators will miss this time when feature snippets appeal, because feature snippets from Google steal our content, but at least Google can link to our content. But ChatGPT and Gemini don't link, we just to rewrite existing content to provide this information for users. And I'm not sure about the future. If search generative experience or ChatGPT or any other tool will rewrite our content to provide in different format for users, I mean, like to cut away the fluff, I mean, like to leave only important information. And it's only beginning of this journey. It's beginning of this evolution. I love the tools. I love to use the tools, but I'm not sure about the future of blog content. You know, if these tools can reply to these questions much faster, much better. I disagree when someone can tell. It's inaccurate. If you know prompts, if you know how to set up these prompts, if you know the topic, you can find if it's accurate or not. Of course, sometimes it can mislead, but in most cases, you can get great results and faster results. So, Thomas, what your input about the future? Can you forecast the future? Do we need to pay attention today to blog content, or it's better to change to other strategies?
I think blog content is still important, but I think we need to rethink how we create blog content. I think for many years, and I cannot speak for every company, but I think many companies has also worked a lot with blog content for the purpose of SEO, but not the purpose of users. The reason why we should have blog content is, of course, to give information around the products we have, more informative information. And that is, as I also just mentioned before, more importantly than ever, if we want to rank in, for example, also, or at least be featured in the generative experience. So I still think it's important. I just think we need to rethink what we're actually creating, because it's not about just creating a guide with the best five tips for whatever it can be. It should be much more based on actually the concept Google loves to talk about, EEAT. In all content we should create, we should understand that we need to solve a problem for the user who is actually engaging with the content by showing our experience, our expertise, our authority, and our trustworthiness. I think the combination of that will help us rank, help us solve a problem, and also help us making it possible to rank in also the newer search engine. We should not just create blog content for the purpose of creating it. We should create it if we can help solve a problem or show that we know something about a topic that is related to our product. Because in the end, why we create blog content is also to make sure that we show ourselves as the thought leaders in our industry, and also show that through content related to our product so we can rank for all these important keywords. But if we need also to see into or look into the block strategy, for example, the content strategy, what we see today is, of course, that I think it will be more difficult to create, you know, block content that actually works because the generative experience, and as you also just mentioned yourself, it can show much more and faster content. But it's also based on what you're asking it, because there's some kind of questions, there's some kind of information where you don't have that many answers. Like a meter is a meter, you know, you cannot have that many perspectives on that. But what you want to create content about is perhaps something that is unique, again, from your end. So I think from a future blog perspective, I don't think you should focus too much on like something that the search engine ChatGPT, Gemini can provide itself, because then people will get the answer there. I think what you should focus on is how you can provide something that you have, which is unique, and where you are first. I think that is the two buzzwords: be unique and be first. Because over time, the search engine, the AI will adapt and will understand it and use it in their own experience. So that's why it's always important to be first with many of these kind of contents, and also be unique. Create something that not as AI or a search engine can copy and just create itself or can create before you created it. And that's also why it's important that we don't just, for example, use ChatGPT for creating content on a large scale, because if we do that, we actually just use information that the search engine or the AI already have, and therefore we will never create unique content. So that's also from a content perspective why it's important that we don't use only these kind of tools, even though there's many people who are starstruck by them. And also we should understand that when creating blog content, it should help solve a problem. It should help show that we are thought leaders, and it should help show that we know a lot of information. I think that is the way you should look at it, and make sure that you create blog content for the reason of your users, for your customers, and not for an SEO purpose, because then I think you've already lost the game.
Nice. I love your answer. Great answer. Because if you create blog content, you don't need to think only about SEO traffic. For example, Forbes, New York Times, all these big publications appealed before Google, before online. And today people are looking for great content, and they can open directly Forbes and other publications to learn great information. You need to create blog content, but don't think only about SEO traffic. You can win brand recognition. For example, I love great books. Jack London wrote books 100 years ago. I love them. When I read these books, I can forget about meal, about water, about sleep, because I live on this book. And it's important to write content like this that people wanna read, consume, and wanna more. You know, if you create this feeling, okay, it's a great content, I wanna more, people open your website, not from Google, they can open directly. So SEO can help to get this traffic too. But if your content is not good, you don't need to think that only Google will fix this problem. SEO can help to find first touch, but the second touch depends on the quality of this content. Thomas, I want to ask about mistakes. You mentioned about PR. I love PR. And let me explain why. It's tough to get great links today. It's not like 20 years ago, I remember when I bought more bad things than my competitors had, Google and Apple. We changed the strategy, and today we are looking for white hat SEO, and we use PR. We paid $6,000 for one press release for PR agency that can write this press release and pitch. But it's a lot, because we needed 12 press releases a week. It's like $72,000. So what I did? I wrote myself a bunch of press releases, plus 100 press releases. I pitched all of them. I got zero mentions, zero results, nothing. Just to acquire experience. Then when I got how this format works, I explained to our blog authors, who usually create evergreen content, that it's different format. It's another beast. You need to cover trending topics, to provide your expert opinion, to use bullet points to stand out from the rest. I mean, like, be unique. After some time, we got mentions on CNN, Bloomberg, Business Insider, Yahoo Finance, MSN, investing.com, because we help trading website to get results. And today we can save plus $3 million by using PR. You know, it's our main link building strategy. I want to ask you about mistakes. I started about PR just to share my mistake, because I know in marketing we need to test, to experiment, to find what actually will work, and we need to do mistakes. I do a lot of mistakes. I keep doing them. I make terrible mistakes, but I learn, I acquire experience. Can you list mistakes that we can avoid? For example, for content creators who are looking for ways how to start, and I think everyone starts from best practices, generic strategies, but they need to find the way. Can you list mistakes that we can avoid in the beginning?
So PR mistakes. Well, there are several.
Not actually PR mistakes. You can list any SEO mistakes that you can see companies still do. I just share my example that how I made mistakes because I love storytelling style. But you can list any mistakes that companies still do from your experience in SEO and your tips how to find a much better way.
Yeah, but I think PR can be a good place to start.
Yeah, okay.
Because it is still important to gain links, to gain a lot of promotion, because one thing is to create content, but the other thing is also to get it out in, like, in the world. You need to promote it. You need to make sure that people also sees it, other than, of course, what you can do in terms of the search engine. And I think what is important and what can be a mistake is when people sometimes do content one place and do PR another place in the, and understand me here, because what I mean is that you don't connect what you have on your site with what you want to share with the world. That has been a mistake, in my opinion, for many years, when people have bought links because they have tried to pay for something that has not been connected to your content. And that's why it's never been relevant. And that's why some people also have seen a penalty from Google, because, well, it was too unnatural. And that's also what, if today it's important to connect your content with also the kind of PR you want to do and the audience you have. It doesn't matter if you have if your audience is the end user, the new customer you want to get, or if it's a journalist you want to convince with your story. You need to understand your audience and you need to understand what they have as in mind. What is their goal for this day, for this week? And sometimes I think where people also fail is if they have too much content they want to share, which is only about themselves, too commercial content. Yeah. But they, and because then they think, oh, we have something really exciting about our company, but in the other end, the journalist doesn't think that is perhaps the most exciting things to share. So that's why I see a lot of resources being not used in the best kind of way. Sometimes it is important, of course, to share something about your company, but in order to gain links, I think you should understand what does the journalist audience want to see. Provide that value, be that source. If you are that source, you will have much greater chance to get links. So that is at least is from a PR perspective. There can be many more, of course, SEO mistakes. Perhaps just to summarize what we've been talking about so far, an SEO mistake in terms of, for example, when we work with AI, is to rely only on these kind of AI tools when you create content, because it can create okay content, as we talked about, but you can never create great and really unique content, because it's based on something, some information it already have. So if you want to help the user better than other than your competitors can do, you want to, of course, add in your own experience. Otherwise, you will fail. And it is actually, it's not simple, but it can be as simple as just following Google's guidelines. You know, they have EEAT. They want you in all things you do to follow experience, expertise, authority, and trustworthiness. So the first thing they see here is experience. Use that when you create content. You can create content how you want, but use experience. It's very difficult to only create content with an AI tool without your own experience, and then also call it that you have followed experience. So just make sure you always follow those four areas, I think you provide value instead of making mistakes.
Nice. Yeah. My dogs usually take part on this podcast, share their valuable insights, so I can't stop them. Thomas, I'm interested about your experience, and I want to clarify who will consume the answer, your answer to this question. What I found in my company that we usually get great results with customers who understand SEO. So basically, if customers understand why we need to create high quality content, why website speed is very important, why we need to earn authoritative, relevant backlinks with white hat SEO or PR, then we get great results. But if customers don't, it's the same like if someone wants to lose weight. You can find the best coach in the world, but if you don't eat healthy food, don't drink water, don't train hard, it's tough. It's really tough to get results. And I often see when customers are looking for experts without doing stuff themselves. Because people can lead you in the right direction, but if you don't understand how it works, it's tough to get results. And according to data, many companies are only implement 40% of all recommendations. Basically, let's imagine someone pays you 100K. 60K can be wasted. It's a lot of money, and we see a lot. So if I see my customers don't understand SEO, I usually tell them, take my course, learn on Google, learn on YouTube. Just get the basic. How it works. When you know the basic, you can cooperate with anybody else. You know, you can find the best expert who can help you. Thomas, I want to ask you, let's imagine you started today from scratch without any experience, knowledge, skills. You know that Google exists, you use Google to find some stuff, but you have no idea how it works. You have no idea how Google ran content. But you want to get traffic, you want to sell your products, you have a big dream to create visionary company, big company, to beat all competitors, to rank your content. What will you do if you do everything from scratch?
I go to Google. No. So if I don't know anything about SEO.
Yeah, but you want to figure out and you want to get traffic. You want to get the basic foundation of SEO to hire great experts who can lead you in the right direction.
Well, if you don't know what you don't know, it can be difficult to understand what you should do. But when we talk about like getting your products out, I think it no matter actually the channel you work with, no matter like how much information you have, I think you can always take it down to understand your audience and understand the problem you want to solve. And from there on, you then build. And that is at least something you can do, whatever, no matter how you work with things and no matter what channel you're working on. I think you should always use that as a way to go. And then, of course, yeah, then you need, of course, to seek that kind of knowledge that can be important, that can help you go from A to B, and again work with experience. But I would say no matter if we're talking about tactics, if you're needing to build things up from scratch, or if you just need to adapt to the new technologies that are within search, I think it's a matter of understanding always your audience and understanding the problems that they want to solve, and therefore you will also know what problems you need to solve. Then I think you will see a path where you need to go. Why SEO, for example, is such a great way to work is because you optimize organically. You optimize and you create a business through trust, through content, who gains trust and creating trust and a relationship based on that with a customer who knows what you stand for. But of course, if you hold a new business, of course, there's also other channels that can help you get those results faster by also work with ads, because then you can also see if you're working from scratch, even faster results, of course. So a combination of different channels, but also really understand the industry you're in and how trust in the last end will build business. And I think trust is something that is a main driver in solving problems today, because trust is what is people are seeking today when going through content. They want helpful content that answer them, but they also looks after what they can trust. Sometimes people also go to the big brands because they trust them, because they have built a brand up over time. So you need to build trust, and you need to know your audience and the problems they want to solve. Therefore, you know also the problem you need to solve. That's the best way to build up from scratch, and then seek the information you need to get there in the mix of channels. But at least that, if I understand the question correct, that is at least how I would answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, got it. Yeah, I agree. And Thomas, let's speak about your daily routine. How you start your day, how you finish your day, how you find balance between family, business, sport, and anything that can help you to go in the right direction.
So a bit of both worlds. Start my day, I love exercising. I think that's a great way to start your day. So you are ready for all the challenges that might be. That at least something that I like to do. Also taking a dip in the water, for example, being really like refreshed. So have a great health and exercise. That's at least how I start my day, no matter what. And then from like work perspective, I have many things I do, because I sit with many like areas, but in overall areas, of course, the development of our product. So from a like more like business perspective, professional perspective, I would say it's really important to be updated. And that's something I use every day on, updating on what is happening. Of course, in the world in general, but also in my niche area of SEO, understand what is happening on the search engine. I use perhaps even more time on that than many others, because I also use a lot of ways to share that knowledge, just as you do. And so, but I think it's important if you work with, no matter what channel it is, but now we're talking about SEO. If you work with SEO, you need to understand all the new updates that is coming if you want to be in front of the competition, because it's changing so fast. And we can just see that during 2023, how many new updates that came from search engines, for example, also because of AI. So I use a lot of time on that. And then, of course, also see like how my for example, my clients' sites are doing. If I was working for just one company, we'll be looking into how our site was doing, and also have a plan that is a repeating plan of creating content consistently and helping our customers, our clients, solving their problems. That's something, again, I think you should ask yourself, how, when I enter the office today, how can I help my audience, my customers, my clients to solve their problems today? That is a great way to create a roadmap in general, but also ask yourself that every day, and then build also your day based on that. And alongside also being updated on what is happening within your industry, so you know what to help them with. That I think is how I go by my day. And then all days can be differently, obviously, but I think that's the main pillars of how I approach every new day.
Mm-hmm. Nice, awesome, love it. And Thomas, I have my final question, very important question about the future, and I want to ask you, take your crystal ball and let us know what kind of future will be in digital marketing, in SEO, considering that we have AI today. It's only the beginning of this journey. We have virtual reality, Apple launched this headset. I don't know how this head will change the world, we see. But I know when Apple creates new products, many companies jump on this field, you know, to create similar products, and it might change our experience of consuming content. And your prediction about the future and how we can adapt to this possible world.
Yeah, that's a big question. There's many different ways of answering that question, but at least I can give my perspective. I think we will only see things changing even faster. We can see, for example, AI just changing the game in many ways. But I think it's important to understand what is the different constants that we have here in the world. And that is, for example, when we talk about SEO, is that people have a demand, there's a kind of search behavior, and always I think understand that and see where that is going. As in terms of like prediction, I think that we as people, of course, demand and expect much better experiences in everything we do. We want faster experience, better experience. So therefore, also as working as a company, we need to be more unique. We need to follow that pace. We need to be more unique, and we need to also be more human driven. I think in a world where AI and a lot of like more auto generated things will accelerate, and where we'll get a lot of things that is with like above or around or not this world, I think it's really important for you people to engage even more with what is human driven, and therefore I think for companies we need to create more human-driven, for example, content, but just connect more humanly with our audience and with people. And when that said, we should still work and, of course, use all the great technologies. I don't think we should. Sometimes many people look at this too much as threats. Of course, there's some threats with the development of many of these things because it's a whole nother thing that perhaps what we're used to. But there's also a lot of opportunities. And we as human people are always good to adapt. We have been that for like a whole lifetime here on this earth. So we will adapt. But I also think since humans are also driven by the interaction with humans, I think that is something that is really important. So I think we will see much more development within AI and all those things. But I think that's also why we need to be also focusing on being also human in that development. And to be more specific, from a digital marketing perspective, that means by meeting your audience, by also being unique, be human driven, but use the tools that can help you be better at that. And their AI tools can be really good. But understand meeting your users, your audience in a way that also connects with how they are thinking as a human being. I think that is some big words that can be used in many ways. So I think much more development, and therefore we need to be much more understandable of how humans are driven and also be human driven in our experiences. Then I think we will meet the future in a good way. That is at least my perspective.
Nice. Yeah, love it. I like this word. We need to adapt. If you choose this occupation, digital marketing, SEO, you need to adapt fast. Because digital marketing is a quickly changing world. And marketers are great to destroy old channels. Because if some channels provide good results, all marketers start to use this channel to destroy it. And we saw something like this in Google Ads, Facebook Ads. Of course, this channel still works, but it's not the same experience that was before. I remember when we paid 5-10 cents per click, and that was a great time. Today, you need to pay $5-$10, you know, for this click. And not all companies can allow. The same with SEO. When that was simple to create content to get ranking positions, today it's not. You need to spend more time to craft content, to create the right team who will help you. But I know one thing. Marketers on TV and radio didn't lose their jobs. They adapted to digital. So whatever happens, if you have experience in SEO, you can adapt to any other channel. Just acquire experience how to create high quality content. Then when new channels will come, you can adapt much faster by having this experience. Because SEO doesn't teach how to rank on Google. Of course, no, SEO can teach about that. But SEO can teach how to create high quality content, how to increase website speed, how to earn authoritative relevant links that will bring traffic and recognition. So SEO can is still powerful channel. Today, SEO brings more traffic than any other channel. And if SEO is dead and everything has the end, you have experience to adapt to any other channel. Virtual reality, I don't know, AI, you'll see, generative experience, but you will be fine because you have experience how to win customer attention. Thomas, it's a big pleasure. Yeah, yeah, you want to say something, yeah.
Yeah, it was just an extra note to what you were saying, but I just want to say, I think because you mentioned yourself that sometimes people think about SEO is dead, and so I just think that actually I think it has never been more alive, because with new technologies and way of search, I think that we know that people will only use those new technologies even more. So it's just a matter of adapting to that, because people will want to search for information even more than ever now when you have the technology that is even better. But I think the game of how you are ranking, and the way, and the game of how you're meeting your audience, that has changed. So that is at least what I think, also just as the last note in my prediction of for example, also SEO. But that was just an add-on to what you said.
Nice. Love it. Yeah. Thomas, it's a big pleasure to get on my show, to learn from you. I love this experience. You are so kind to share these valuable bombs. You know how to lead an emergency room. I need to spend time to think how to adapt to all your knowledge. It's not to adapt to something new. You need to adapt to knowledge, to update what you have. Tell the best way how to keep learning from you, how to reach out to you, how to follow you.
Well, I would say follow our blog on Bonsai, bonsai.io. There we share every kind of news within the search engine. We also have a newsletter where I every week share a recap of what has happened on the search engine. So if you're up to follow that pace of news, yeah. Every week I provide with a recap, both in video and in the blog content. And otherwise, connect with me on LinkedIn. I love to share whatever I think about SEO, and I love to share and talk about SEO with everyone who is interested. So just reach out. I think that's the best ways to connect with me.
Nice. Guys, you can find the link to the blog content, to LinkedIn account, in the description below. Listen us on Apple, Google, Spotify. Thanks again, Thomas. A big pleasure. Love it. It's so valuable, so fun. I follow you on LinkedIn. I recommend to anyone to follow Thomas' book on LinkedIn, because you can see a lot of valuable insights. It's a big mistake if you ignore it. And remember, if you adapt fast, much faster than your competitors, you will be fine. Whatever happens, what kind of future will be, you need to adapt faster than your competitors, and everything will be fine. Okay, guys, love you, see you.
Thanks for tuning in to Unmiss. Enjoyed the show? Drop us a review on your favorite platform and help us spread the digital marketing wisdom. See you next episode.